Hello, I want to welcome you to this month's World Changer Message. I'm just fired up about so many things, which of course, as you know, is my general state of mind. I tend to be kind of fired up about God because every single day God does something in my life that's so much better than what I deserve. And we talked about divine favor all through the month of March. That's my whole series is about divine favor, and I guess I'm just acutely aware of the fact that I'm always getting better than I ever deserve. But what I felt like I wanted to share with you in this month's World Changer Message was about ministering to the sick. People don't hear me talk a lot about ministering to the sick because obviously my beliefs about ministering to the sick don't line up with just your average run-of-the-mill charismatic concepts about personal ministry. Sadly, some people think that I don't believe in praying for the sick or that I don't believe in ministering to the sick, when the reality of it is I do believe in praying for the sick, and honestly, when I do, I see pretty consistent results. I actually see pretty outstanding results. I want you to understand something. When you look at the Bible and really take off the rose-colored glasses that we put on through the Pentecostal and the Word of Faith and charismatic movement, you really get a whole different picture for healing than I really think that we're embracing today. I don't think that how we're seeing healing and defining healing and talking about healing, I don't think is really very much in line with the new covenant. You see, first of all, when you look at the ministry of Jesus, you see healing everywhere he went. But one of the things you have to realize is that Jesus was ministering to people who were not born again. None of those people were born again. They were Jewish believers, but they were not born again. And he modeled to us what it would look like if we were ministering to the lost and we were preaching the gospel to them. Well, you know something? When I go overseas and when I preach the gospel to people who are not born again, that's what it looks like. You know, when my good friend Ed Elliott goes all over the world, preaches the gospel, that's what it looks like. But from the book of Acts forward, you don't see the early church getting people healed all over the place. Now, I believe healing is definitely part of the new covenant. I believe healing is definitely something that is, available for every believer. I believe every believer should walk in it. But I really don't necessarily think that healing should be something that one believer takes to another believer. I believe we should lay hands on one another. I believe we should pray for the sick when they ask for it and this sort of thing. But I don't think that healing for the new covenant believer should be standard operating procedure as something that comes from outside of them from somebody else. If it was, number one, it would be modeled more in the book of Acts if it was to be the main focus of what we were doing. Number two, there would be more teaching about it in the epistles. And there's not. There's very little mention of it. And I don't think it's because we're not to expect healing. I think we should expect more healing, but it comes from within our own heart as we believe in the Lord Jesus and connect with him, through our own faith. However, there are going to be many, many opportunities that we're going to have the chance to pray for and minister to other people. Now, I want you to understand something. When I approach any situation with anybody that's sick, I always start from the place that it is God's will for them to be healed. Jesus paid for them to be healed. By his bruising, we are healed. He was bruised with our sickness and with our infirmity. That wasn't the stripes of the Roman soldiers. Those stripes that they put on him had nothing to do with our healing. It was the bruising that God put on, the stripes that God put on him, where God bruised him, that's what it says in the Greek and the Hebrew, bruised him with our sickness and our infirmity. So it's never the will of God for a person to be sick. It's always the will of God for a person to be healed. But unless you believe in ultra-sovereignty, which many people do, they just don't realize it, you come to realize that God's will is not always done. It is not God's will that any man perish, but people perish. It is not God's will that any person ever commit any sin, but people commit sin. You see, God is not an idealist, and it's interesting. He's holy. He's without flaw. He's perfect in every way, but he's not an idealist. God is dealing in a world that has been ruled by sin since the fall of man and will be ruled by sin and the effects of sin until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and really ultimately until the establishing of the new heavens and the new earth. So it's always God's perfect will, but God's perfect will doesn't always get done. So I'm just going to share with you some things. And let me tell you, again, I get results that are actually pretty phenomenal in my personal ministry to people. And I've seen things that the honest truth is, after it's over, I was in shock and awe that they happened the way that they happened. You know, in the early 70s, I don't remember if it was Hurricane Andrew. It was one of the big hurricanes that came through in the early 70s and just tore up the Gulf Coast, Pensacola, Florida, where I lived at the time, took it pretty bad. Parts of Louisiana, all through the Gulf Coast there, took it bad, went all the way up into Mississippi. Horrible, horrible hurricane. Well, I was laying carpet in a motel. I'd just taken a contract there. You know, that's what I did while I was going to Bible school. I laid carpet and painted and did contract work. And so I actually left town the night the hurricane came on land. I was on my way to Dalton, Georgia to go pick up carpet, to install carpet in this hotel. Well, while I was gone, hurricane comes in. The manager of this hotel that had signed this contract with me, he is driving home. He is in an accident as a result of the hurricane. He is in the hospital with a broken pelvis. I think a broken leg. He's in a coma. I don't remember what all is wrong with him, but I do know that he was on a coma and he was on life support. And so when I came back in town, I got word of what had happened to him. And actually, I knew his family from the very first church that I ever went to. So obviously, I went to see him. And when I got into his room, I was unsure about what to do. I knew what should happen. I knew that in a perfect world, I would lay hands on him and he would get up and walk away. But, you know, I had questions. I wasn't sure of the outcome. I wasn't sure of these kinds of things. But, I stood in his room and I just waited until I had a witness of what in my heart I felt like I needed to do. Well, the moment I had that sense of what to do, I walked over to him, even though he was in that coma. I started talking to him just like he was awake. I laid hands on him. I spoke healing to him, and absolutely nothing changed. And I walked out of the room, and all I knew is I had done exactly what God had spoken to my heart to do. Well, that night, he woke up from his coma. He disconnected all of his own life support and walked to the bathroom. You know, that was a pretty phenomenal miracle. And so, you know, I've seen those kinds of things happen. You know, overseas, you've all heard me talk about it. I've seen dozens, if not hundreds, of blind eyes open. I've seen lepers get new skin. I've seen the deaf get their hearing. I don't even know how many cripples get up and walk. Every kind of disease you can imagine, I've seen people get healed of. So seeing miracles and believing miracles is not the issue. But I know that when I walk into any given situation, I am dealing with the beliefs of that other person. Now, I'll tell you, there have been times where I can't explain this, but I know that my faith overrode the whole circumstance, but it never lasted until that person got their heart involved. Some of you heard me tell the story about the very first house that I lived in after I got saved and was in the ministry. The deacon that had kind of taken me under his wing and was helping me in the very first church I went to, he got an assignment to go overseas to Tehran, Iran, and he was a contractor for the government. And so he donated his house for me to live in for the year that he was there, or the 2 years that he was there. And when he would come home, he would stay with me. And this was a wonderful man, but I'm telling you, he had more food allergies than anybody had ever seen. And his diet was so limited, it was crazy. But he was one of these guys that if he ate a piece of bread, he would either have to have an injection or die, you know, or end up in the hospital. It was that bad. And so one night he was coming in and I was praying. I had a little vision of him walking in the door, what he would say to me when he walked in, what I would say to him. I saw myself lay hands and pray for him and him get healed. And lo and behold, the next night when he came in, he walked in, he said to me exactly what I'd seen in this vision. I just followed what I'd seen. I laid hands on him. And the whole 2 weeks that he was with me, he ate anything that he wanted to eat with absolutely no side effects. And so when the 2 weeks were up and he had to go back to Iran, he got on the plane. And while he was flying back, they brought him his meal and he started to eat. And he told me, he said, you know, I had this thought. He said, I had this thought in my, and you know, when I got ready to eat, that, you know, Jim is not here now to believe with me. What will I do if I start having these side effects? And right on the spot, he, to some degree, surrendered his healing and was not able to walk it out from that point on. I don't understand all those situations, but I tell you what I've learned. I have learned not to impose my faith on anybody. I have learned that there are situations where I can influence people and something can happen momentarily, but when I'm gone, it's over. It's the end of it because they've got to believe in their own heart. I remember when one of my daughters, and actually this, we've had things like this happen with several of my daughters, but I remember one of my daughters in the hospital delivering a baby, and the baby would not turn. And we were all standing around the bed, and I asked, you know, if I could pray for her, and she said yes, so I had her permission, and I just said, the baby's going to turn. I didn't say I was going to pray for a turn. I said, the baby's going to turn. I laid hands on the baby's stomach, and bam, right there on the spot, the baby turned. But again, that was one of those situations where she got involved with me. Whenever we had ministry in a tent, my oldest daughter, Tanya, was walking down the steps one morning before church, fell down, broke her leg, and it was very obviously broken. And, you know, I spoke to her and I said, can you believe with me on this? And she said yes. And I spoke to that leg and I told it to heal and I told her to get up and walk. And that was it. It was healed. As a matter of fact, the way I got to know Brenda, the way I got to know my wife was at a skating party where I don't think I'd ever seen her before in my life. If I did, I don't remember it. But at this skating party that was a church function, she was not a good skater. She fell down, broke her arm. I was skating around. I looked over there. I saw a group of people huddled around somebody. I went over, and you could see the bone in her arm sticking up where it had been broken. And, you know, it was one of those situations. I didn't hesitate. I grabbed it and spoke to it, and that it just popped right back in place. I wish I could say that they all went that way, but they don't all go that way. There are times when people call me for prayer to minister to someone. And I know in my heart that that person is not going to get healed. And in those kinds of situations, I always go in and try to minister to them, talk to them about their beliefs, discuss with them where they are in their beliefs, discuss with them where they are in their expectations. And you know something? Many times they finally admit to me that they're really not immovable about it. That they're struggling with it, or they're not sure, or you'll pray for them, and then after you pray for them, you know, everything that they do and say from that point on, you realize that they were not immovable about that situation. In the last few weeks, there have been people that were pregnant where one of them was in a dire situation, and honestly, I knew exactly what was going to happen. I laid hands on them. I felt what was happening. I saw what was happening, and the baby was born and came through everything perfectly. There was another situation where when I laid hands on the person, I knew in my heart that the baby was not going to live. Now, was that the will of God? No, that wasn't the will of God. But you say, well, what is the point? What are you saying to us? I'm saying that when you're ministering to other people, that their heart and their life is all, or their heart is always involved because it is their life. Their beliefs are always involved. And many times you've got to talk to people and you've got to teach people and you've got to encourage people and you've got to share with people. And, you know, I would never tell a person, I know that you're not going to make it. I know your baby's not going to make it. Or I know that I'm never going to tell them that. I'm always going to point them to the possibilities of what can happen. And, you know, I'm not making any kind of indictment on their faith. I am not saying I know all of the factors that are involved, but I'm saying this. I don't tell a person that there's going to be a healing until I know in my heart there's going to be a healing. And so far in my personal ministry life, if I tell them there's going to be a healing, you can pretty much count on the fact there's going to be a healing. Remember, it's always God's will to heal. Their healing has always been paid for. Jesus paid for it when he was raised from the dead, when he was brought up out of that grave, when he sat down at the right hand of God. But I'm telling you, we've got to learn more about listening to what God is saying to us, because if a person is not ready to receive healing, it doesn't matter what your faith is, they're not going to receive healing. Remember, the word receive means to take hold of and bring it to themselves. You know, even Brother Hagin taught this. Brother Hagin taught that, he said that many times he would go in before he would minister to somebody, he would spend time teaching them. He might visit them a number of times before he would ever lay hands on them and pray for them. But somehow we forget that, and we just think that we can grab a hold of anybody and that we can get them healed. You know, in my crusades overseas, one of the things that was always great about it is you get a crusade that's got, you know, 1,000 people that want to get prayed for, or 5,000 or 10,000 people want to get prayed for. The great thing is you can't lay hands on them, so you have to pray for them in mass. Therefore, all of the results that happen in their life are strictly between them and God. You know, and there are going to be, if you prayed for 5,000 people in mass, there might be 1,000 of them that get healed, and there might be 1,000 that don't get healed. But all you're focusing is on the 1,000 that do, because you weren't individually trying to make this thing happen. You weren't putting yourself in this intimate connection with whether or not they do or they don't get healed. I love praying in mass, and I see way more people. As a matter of fact, you know, most of the time when I'm in church, if I feel like praying for the sick, very rarely do I give an altar call. I usually do it through the word of knowledge. I don't even lay hands on the people unless God leads me to. Now, I'm not telling you to do it the way that I do it, but I'm just telling you that's the way I do it. One of the things I've learned is that, remember, truth is absolute, but the application of truth is 100% variable. And I know that in every situation, God wants to work. But I also know me, and I know that I function differently than you function. And that means that when God's working through me to bring a healing to somebody, and when he's working through you, it might happen two different ways. And so I don't know how it works for you, but I know that for me, in most situations, when I'm called on to pray for somebody, lay hands on somebody, I either have to have a witness in my heart about what's going to happen, or I am going to begin taking them through a process of reminding them and connecting them, actually bringing them into fellowship around the finished work of Jesus until they are pretty adamant about me praying for them. I'm not going to be begging them to let me pray for them. I'm not going to be pushing it. I want them to be the one that's pushing it. I want them to be like the people that followed Jesus around and cried out. And even when the crowd would tell them to shut up, they would not shut up because they were not going to be refused. That's the person that you can pretty much count on that's going to get healed. But remember, you know, what happens and what doesn't happen, that is no reflection of God's will. It's no reflection if they're a good person or a bad person or that sort of thing. It's just a reflection of something about what is going on in their heart. Now, I'll tell you, when you're praying for miraculous things, when it comes to the weather, when it comes to those kinds of things, it's just all about you. It's just you and God. Do you believe that what you say comes to pass? I tell you, I found that it's way more easy to stop a tornado or stop a storm or stop the rain than it is to get another person healed. Because to get that other person healed is both my faith and it's their faith. But to stop a rain, to stop a storm, it's nothing but just what I believe is going to happen. And I can know with absolute certainty that what I say is going to happen. Now, that's an important point, because so many times we pray or we say and then we wait to see what's going to happen. First of all, there's so many things that we pray that we should say. And there's nothing to pray about if you want it to stop raining. You need to be able to look at the rain and say stop and know in your heart it's going to stop. There's nothing to pray about when a tornado is ripping through a city. You need to know in your heart that you have authority and you need to know that you can tell it to stop and it's going to stop. And if you don't know that, then there's no sense in praying for it to stop, because it's not going to stop just because you pray for it to. There are so many places where we should be using our authority where we're praying. And there's so many places where we should be praying to find out what the next move is and to follow God that we're saying. So you got to figure out how this works for you. But the main thing is you got to figure out how you tend to most consistently get the results based on the finished work of Jesus, based on ministering to other people. You know, I've had more people get physically healed just from what would come into their heart while they were hearing me preach, probably, than I ever had get healed by calling people down to altar calls. I've had more people get healed doing heart physics than I probably have in crusades. So for believers, it's all about getting them to believe the truth in their heart. For non-believers, it's a whole different thing. You know, you've heard me tell the story about my stepfather. I had prayed for and spoken salvation over him for 30 years. And, you know, I get the call that he's in the hospital, he's in a coma, and he's dying of cancer. And, you know, something inside me just rose up and said, no, I will not let you die. And I went to the hospital, and he was in a coma, and I began to speak to him. He came out of the coma. I led him to Jesus. And when he slipped back into the coma, in my heart, I just said, Lord, he was such a violent man. And such, you know, it's like, Lord, I don't know what I can believe for beyond this. All I know is I want him to live for 2 weeks and make sure that he shares his salvation with my mother, because she stayed with him all these years. And I don't want him to die and her wonder what happened to him eternally. He lived 2 weeks, and every time he came out of that coma, he told everybody in the room about giving his life to Jesus. So listen, when you're going to do something, if you're listening to your heart and you know how to hear the voice of God in your heart, you can always rely on that. You can always trust in the real faith for the miraculous ministry is knowing that what God speaks to you in your heart, knowing that you can act on it, it's going to come to pass. But don't ever assume, because God doesn't lead you to pray for somebody, don't ever assume that it's not his will, because it is absolutely always his will. And you know, what I have found so many times in a situation where somebody calls and they want prayer, and I just can't get a release to call them back. Usually that means that in that person's heart, they have not decided for themselves. They haven't decided if they're going to live or die. They haven't decided if they're going to get healed. And so God won't give me a release to go pray for them until I have a sure word. And of course, a lot of people get mad at me over that and get upset with me over that. But, you know, Jesus kind of went through that with the whole Lazarus thing whenever he was several days late getting there for Lazarus. So listen to God in your heart. And don't just jump up and say, because I know it's the healing is the will of God, I'm just going to pray for everything that moves, because you're going to have a lot of disappointment. You're going to get yourself discouraged, and you're going to discourage a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you something. I would rather, if there's 10 sick people, I'd rather get 3 of them healed that I minister to and the other 7 not get healed and they have to sort it out and walk it out in their own heart than to pray for all 10 of them and only 3 of them get healed, because then that leaves that other 7 wondering why they haven't gotten healed. In the New Testament, when the word ask is used, it's a word that implies that you're asking for something you already have the answer to. So I'm never, and actually, you know, like Ron Marcourt says, who used to be on staff with me here, and I think he's a graduate of our Bible school, you know, God didn't say to pray for the sick, he said to heal the sick. In other words, you need to know in your heart, and you need to speak with authority over them. So minister healing people, minister the miraculous, but don't necessarily try to do it the way we've always been taught to do it, where just everybody that comes to the altar, you pray for them. When I'm in countries where you have altar calls and you have hundreds of people come down, and maybe I'm going to take the time to lay hands on everybody, the one question I ask everybody, if it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's real simple. Are you going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit when I lay hands on you? I'm telling you, if they sputter one bit, if they hesitate one bit, I send them to their seat and say, you wait till the end of the line. If I'm praying for the sick in those situations, I ask them, now when I lay hands on you, are you going to receive your healing? Are you going to take hold of your healing? And they say yes. I'm so, okay, then are you going to put works with your faith? Are you going to do what you couldn't do? Are you going to start doing it? If they hesitate on any of those things, I say, then you wait, you sit down right here and watch, because I want them to see people get healed. The ones that say, yes, I'm going to receive the baptism, I mean, bam, there it goes. The ones that say, yes, I'm going to get healed, yes, I'm going to put works with my faith, those are the ones that I just jump right in, and I tell you, something incredible happens. Listen, God always wants to heal these people. The question is, are we going to trust him and follow him in how we need to minister healing so that it's the most effective and beneficial way for them? Listen, so many wonderful things are going on. I hope you've noticed by now we've updated the website pretty considerably, and maybe we've even got the new store and the new iGroup area launched. I hope so, because this is going to be so phenomenal. It's going to help you so much. Ever since the internet came out and got popular, I realized that the internet was going to be the way that we were going to reach the world. And when we first went on the internet, right off the bat, we started reaching people all over the world. You know, our first internet order was for $1,500, very first order when we first put our store on the internet. And it came from Singapore, I believe it is. And it was right at the time whenever Joseph Prince had first been introduced to the grace message by Ed Elliott using my material. And Ed gave him a whole box of my material. And it launched the whole grace message that's taking place in Singapore today, and the whole ministry of Joseph Prince, because we were on the internet and because people were being influenced. We're touching the world, and there's preachers all over the world now that are stepping up because they're hearing this message online, or somebody's taking them this message and they're going online and getting this. So this, don't ever underestimate the value of what we're doing with our website and why we have our website. But we hope to have all kinds of new advantages for you. As a matter of fact, all of these things that I keep saying we're trying to do on our website, I've been trying to get people to do for years. And, you know, we finally, every improvement we make, certain aspects of our website gets better and certain aspects probably get worse. But I promise you this, everything I've experimented with on this website says you're going to love this. You're going to enjoy this. So we want to hear from you. If you have any problems, let us know, because we'll fix them as soon as we can. But we're doing this to better serve you and to better reach the world, because together we're changing the way the world sees God. And we're going to keep doing it until Jesus comes back.